You know, I got up early this morning, as I generally do, and had scripture on my heart. Last time we preached a couple Sundays ago, we talked about the Spirit of God and how He reaches and touches people's lives. And the evidence of the Spirit of God in your life is, if you'll read the Word of God, is manifested in many different ways. Many different ways. And that's another message for another day. But He does. When He comes into our hearts, it's like I've told you 1,000 times, salvation is your first step. Okay? Salvation is when you got your heart right, you're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, and now this whole brand new life opens up for you. I don't know if y'all look at it that way, but I do. 38 years ago, a whole brand new life opened up for me. One that I had never experienced before, didn't have any idea of what was fixing to happen to me. But it opened up all kinds of things that I never dreamed of. And this scripture, and I've read this scripture many times, and I love this scripture. It's out of Zechariah, that over in the Old Testament, you know, on the left-hand side of the book. Zechariah 4, verse 6. And old Zechariah, he's talking along there, and the angel comes to speak with him. And in verse 6, he said, "So he answered and said to me." Now, you know, this is a messenger from God. "He answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, but not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Can I tell you that the world of the spirit, the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about any old spirit, because there are other spirits out there. You don't want them. You only want Holy Spirit. All right? The world of Holy Spirit, I believe, is more real than us. You know, and the reason why I believe that, and that's just what I believe, okay? I believe that because the world of the Spirit is where everything started. You read it. Go over to the book of Genesis. It said the Spirit hovered over that water. You think about it. The power of Holy Spirit in your life will change you. But can I tell you that there's an opposite to that? If you are not changed, do you have Holy Spirit? Because if you're like me, I live for myself. I live for other things. I live for the world. I live for finance. I live for the job. I live for all these other things other than for Holy Spirit, other than for God, other than for Jesus Christ. I know living on the other side is real, okay? But I also know that living on the side with Holy Spirit is more real. Because I'm going to tell you what, you have to cling to Him. Can I tell you that it's easy to do wrong? I ain't getting no amens on that. It's easy to do wrong. It's not real easy to do right. You need Holy Spirit. You need Him. You have to have Him. See, it's strictly a matter of life and death. Can I tell you that? It's strictly a matter of life and death. Without Him comes death. With Him, new life. A new way of thinking, a new way of seeing, a new way of doing. I don't know about y'all, but for me to get saved was of paramount concern to my wife especially. I think she was running out of patience in prayer. But you see, thank God we serve a Savior. We serve a God. We serve one who never runs out on any of us. by his Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Have you ever thought about what that looks like? You ever thought about what that looks like? Turn with me over to Joel 2:28. This is sort of kind of what it looks like. Joel 2, verse 28. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Can I tell you that if somebody is trying to pour you a cup of water, unless you hold your cup underneath that water, you won't get no water. They're pouring out all right, but you ain't under it to get it. I want you to get a picture here. I'm going to try to paint you a picture of what we need to do. We need to be under that outpouring on our lives for Holy Spirit to have everything to do in our lives. So it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy." It didn't say maybe. It didn't say could be. It didn't say almost. It said they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I know we got a bunch of old guys in here. Y'all like to dream? You know, dream dreams. I can't never remember them when I'm sleeping. But, you know, I do have dreams that I... Lily asked me, "Say, dream last night?" "Yeah, I did, but I don't know what I dreamed about." She said, "Well, you was talking about it." Your old men shall dream dreams. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We've been around long enough that we've seen a few things, and we can dream of things that would make it better. We can dream of things that would make a difference. You see, we've had some experience to reach out and touch other people. And then it says, I like this part, "And young men shall see visions." Now, you want to stay young, guys? See visions. So you have a young man in this congregation that has a vision. John has a vision. You know what John's vision is? He shared with me many times. It's the same vision that old John Wesley had. "You give me 300. You give me 300 prayer warriors. You give me 300 dedicated Christians. You give me 300 that will not back down, give in, give out, or go away, and we'll change the world." Now, right, John? That's right. He got it on the blackboard over there. You can read it every time you walk in the door. You see, he's got a vision for what could be. That's what visions are, of things to come. Can I tell you that that's in the Spirit? I'm telling you, he's real. He's real. If you'll wrap your hand around it, if you'll wrap your head around it, if you'll wrap your heart around it, it'll make a difference in your life. You'll see differently when you see in the Spirit. Just ask John the Apostle. There are so many places in the Word of God. Some people are scared of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid that he's going to mess you up. Yeah, he'll mess you up in the right way. I'll tell you what will mess you up in the wrong way is the unholy spirit. I'm real familiar with him. But you see, Holy Spirit only steers you in the right direction. You know why it looks weird? It's weird to somebody that ain't never experienced it. It's only foreign to those who are afraid of it because they've never allowed it to happen to them. By the way, that little saying there, if that don't light your fire, it makes your wood wet. You must have your wood wet if you don't light your fire. That's where all that comes from. That fire of the Holy Ghost that can come upon you It burns out all the impurities in your life, and what's left? Only that which has been purified, only that which is holy, only that which is after the things of God alone, in the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord. It shall come to pass after that I pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That means all of us, all of them that was before us and all of them that's coming after us. Y'all read plenty of times in the Word of God, it says, this is for those who believe. Past, present, and future. This is for those who believe. Can I tell you the opposite of that? It must not be for you if it ain't in you, because you must not believe. Listen to me. You got to be open to the things of God. Everything in this book is available for you. It's available for you. Plenty of times I read in here, it says, if you will receive it, whatever that it might be. If you will receive it. I'll tell you again, salvation is just the first step. It's just the first step. That's to get you on the right road, headed in the right direction at the right time. That's what it's for. And then after that, a whole brand new world opens up. The world of the Spirit of God opens up to you, and it will work through you so that others can be saved, so that others can be filled with the Spirit, so that others will be set on fire. You know, that's what we need. We need more people set on fire with the Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you what, the enemy has the fire too, but it only destroys. The Spirit of God's fire only enhances. It only drives us forward. It only speaks to our hearts and changes our lives. I'm going to tell you, you're going to know. If you've never experienced it, you're going to know when you do. Because it will get all over you more than any other place. It'll set you so on edge about going and doing the things of the Spirit, going and doing those things that God has asked you to do. Now, is everybody going to do everything? No. I'm here to tell you, because I don't think you could do everything. Because you got to hone in on some of this stuff to become proficient at it. And Holy Spirit works through you to enhance that. And all of a sudden, guess what? Your light shines brighter. Let me ask you something. If somebody's writing on a blackboard with a white piece of chalk, what do you see? You see the white chalk, don't you? You see the white chalk. You don't see the blackboard anymore. If you're standing in a dark room and somebody at the back of the room turns a flashlight on, what do you see? The light. Sometimes we just need to have the light turned on. And then we will see more clearly. You see, some people like walking around in the darkness. Kind of twilight or dusky, you know. Because the light exposes things that you need to get rid of. You think about that. I'm going to tell you what, day I got saved, there was a lot of exposing went on. I had to start getting rid of a lot of stuff. I had to start asking for forgiveness. I had to start repenting. I had to start doing all of these things before I could get to that point where I could say, oh God, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me, Lord, for all the ways that I have acted all my life. Because you see, that light came and there was no denying that light, because all I could see was the light. All I could see was that handwriting. You know, there was an old king over there. He had some handwriting on the wall. I don't want to see that kind of handwriting, brother. It'd change your life, but I'm going to tell you what, it's also a prophecy against you. That's what happened to him anyway. But you see, when that handwriting comes to you and you can read it and that light is illuminated in front of you, there is no denying it. It'll burn in you till you die. Because I'm going to tell you, and I've told you this before, a man with an experience with God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument about God. Don't let anyone ever take your testimony away from you. Don't let them make you second guess anything about what God has done in your life. Because I'm going to tell you what, that is Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. That's Holy Spirit making a difference in your life so that you can make a difference in someone else's. See, it's not really for you. It's for you to work for Him. Oh, it is for you to change. But then you're supposed to give it away. Let me ask you something. Are you giving it away? Are you? Because I can truthfully tell you that you cannot give away what you do not possess. If you ain't got it, you can't give it. Let's go after Him, church. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. By His Spirit. That's the way these things happen, is by His Spirit. You know, one way that these things happen is like old Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord. That's another way that these things happen. They that wait upon. What does that look like? What does that look like to you as individuals? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does that look like to you? Is it just words? Or does it mean something when you speak it, when you look at it, when you digest it, when those things get into your spirit? What does that look like to you? I can tell you what it looks like to me. Yesterday morning, I was at a men's breakfast. I had been invited to come speak on behalf of our persecuted brothers and sisters. Okay? I was up early. I was doing that. Everything that I do in ministry, that's what it looks like to me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Every day, every day, every day you're in this word. Every day you're getting a fresh renewal. Every day you're getting new strength. Right here. By His Spirit. By His Spirit. I'm telling you, if you can get it by His Spirit, you got it. It'll be right here in your heart. And what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If the things of the Spirit are not coming out of your mouth, you need to check on what's in your heart. That's good preaching. I ain't getting no amens at all. You know something? That's the truth. If He's living within you, He's got to come out. You know, we're calling old Hank Williams. He sang a song about that. If it's in you, it's got to come out, right? He also said if you're throwing dirt, you're just losing ground. By His Spirit within us. By His Spirit, we walk. Daily, we walk. We put one foot in front of the other, walking after Him, walking in the Spirit. You see, it's like I said a while ago, some people are scared of it. They think something's wrong with you. Well, actually, you just got right. You just got right when you allow Him to work through you. You just got right with Him. I'll say it this way. Who cares what it looks like? Who cares? You know, God said that He'd take those foolish things, right? He'd make them mount to something. He would confound the world with that foolishness. He also says through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls are saved. And I'm about the most foolish preacher you would ever meet. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm after Him. And I want that spirit within me so strong that all I need to do is, you know, there's one place in the Word of God, I just get plumb off of it. There's one place in the Word of God, it says they came and they laid the sick in the streets. That the hoping that the shadow of Peter would come across them. It says they brought them from the countryside all around. And they were all healed. What does that look like? That looks like somebody walking in the Spirit. That believed, tell me something. Does that sound like they believed? You see, when things happen in your life, it's because you believed. See, if you're walking around in unbelief, then you're just doing whatever it is you want to do. You ain't worried about the things of God. You're not worried about what's going to happen next. You're just kind of there. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. By my Spirit. Can I tell you that God expects us to walk in His Spirit? He expects us to do that. We talked about expectations a couple Sundays ago. We talked about having a big set of plans was the expectation of the architect, the expectation of the customer. And as a builder and as a contractor, we are to build the expectations of the architect and the client. Can I tell you that God has that same kind of plan, and we are to be walking in that plan, paying attention to every detail. Remember, we talked about details. Details. Details in the Word of God. Little things. Sometimes we just read right over the details and we miss it. We miss the details. Can I tell you, when you miss a detail that God has placed right in front of you, you're missing out. You're missing out on what He has for you. Not for me. What He has for you. I have a hard enough time just keeping up with Him for what He wants me to do, much less anybody else's stuff. But see, you got to be paying attention to see what He wants you to be doing. You got to be like the young men and have visions. You got to be like the old men and have dreams. You got to be like those sons and daughters with the Spirit of God poured out upon them. Can I tell you, you need to stand still long enough to let Him pour it out on you? You know how you stand still and do that? You stay in prayer more. You stay in reading of His Word more. You're waiting on Him. Not waiting doing nothing. You're waiting on Him to show you what the next step is while you're working on what He's already given you. Because He's already given us some tasks, folks. He's already given us some things we need to be doing. Believe me, if you're going to walk with God, what was it that they used to tell you? Said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, can I? Yeah, that's right. If you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You won't grow with God unless you go to work. You won't grow with God unless you look at Him in those spiritual things and let Him speak to your heart so that you will grow, so that you can instill it in somebody else's. Works won't get you there, but I'm going to tell you what. It'll tell people you're on the right direction, and it'll also tell God you're on the right direction. What's that old Paul said? He said, I'll show you my faith by the works that I do. And I'll show you the works that I do. That tells you how much faith I got. Calling upon those things that are not as though they are and they shall be. I used to tell people, I said, you know what faith is? That's not getting all worried when you can't see what God's doing. Just keep trusting Him. Keep trusting Him. waiting on that outpouring of His Spirit in your heart and in your life to be about the King's business. I love that last song we sang, "The King is Coming." I can remember the first time that I ever heard that song. Well, I'm young in the Lord. Most of you old guys in here, y'all been saved since you was born. So, you know, I've only been saved about half of my life, and that's a long time. Sort of. I'm 5 years past what He said we could have. I'm living on borrowed time. You see, I didn't get here as quick as some of y'all did, but I've been running hard to make up. I want all of Him, all the time, every day. And I have learned that only by His Spirit can I achieve these things. Only by His Spirit will I stay strong enough to resist any temptations. I know y'all don't have no trouble with that. But I still have to live in this world, okay? There's still stuff out there that wants to come. It still wants to come. But you see something? I've got the Spirit of God, and I got all of His armor. And I don't have to let that stuff touch me anymore, no matter what. I tell people all the time, I said, I don't have to live that way no more. You see, it's not a doctrine of what I can't do anymore. It's a doctrine of what I don't want to do anymore. What I don't have to do anymore. I don't know if y'all ever thought about it that way. I sometimes think backwards on stuff. Because I've had people tell me, say, man, you get saved, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I said, oh, no. If you really get saved, you don't want to do this and you don't want to do that. You want to do what God wants you to do. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. By His Spirit. Can I tell you, people? Go after Him. Go after Him. Who cares what it looks like? Who cares what it sounds like? Who cares? Only people that are unbelievers care. And the only reason why they care is because they don't understand it and they're afraid of it. As born again, blood bought, children of the King and the Most High God, you ought not be afraid of nothing. Fear should not be in your vocabulary. Read it in the Word. He tells us 366 times, do not fear. Do not be afraid. When you do this, don't have no concern. That's one thing that our founder, Richard Wurmbrand, for his Voice of the Martyrs, when he was kidnapped off the streets of Bucharest, Romania, on February 29th of 1948, he was thrown into an automobile and nobody knew where he was for 3 years. He spent 3 years in about a 6x6 concrete cubicle, 30 feet underground, where the only people he ever saw was those that tortured him. He said at one point, at his lowest point, that God revealed Himself to him in that underground cell, and he said that that concrete lit up like diamonds. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. You see, Richard encouraged himself in the Spirit every day, even though he was tortured horribly. Unspeakable tortures. Some that he would never even talk about. They were so horrible what men can do to other men. But in the Spirit, he endured 14 years of torture in a communist prison. He understood what it was to live in the Spirit. You see, we don't near have that kind of stuff happened into us. In fact, we have way more freedom. Sometimes that's a real problem. See, when you can't get away from the problem, then you have to face the problem. And a lot of times when we can get away from a problem, we just put it to the side and we don't let it bother us. So see, we don't need no power to overcome it because we can get away from it. But when you're faced with having to face it, then you need that power to be able to overcome. Think about it. Think about it. Being an overcomer. How are you an overcomer? In the Spirit of God. Not on your own carnal flesh. Not on the things that you like. Only on those things that He likes. Only. Only Him. Y'all see what I'm saying? It's got to be in His Spirit, people. Everything that we do needs to be for Him in His Spirit. We need to have it so ingrained in us that nothing else comes out ever. The only thing that you can hate in this life is what God hates. Richard used to say, "I hate the communism, but I love the communist." That's what caused him to win commandants of prisons that tortured him, guards that beat him, and they ended up right in the same cell with him because they saw the light. The Spirit of God came and arrested them, and then they could not deny Him. Only by His Spirit. Only by His Spirit can you do that. Only by His Spirit will you have that kind of power. You see, we need to be doing what God expects. And He expects us to step up to the plate every day. It's not a sometimes, maybe, could be almost. It's step up to the plate every day. You Christian, step up. Because I'm going to tell you what, the world knows what a Christian is supposed to look like, act like, talk like, be like. Even though they ain't one. Even though they may have never professed Jesus Christ as their Savior, they never called upon God to save them. But they know what you're supposed to look like, and they'll be quick to point it out. So see, that's what you need to be doing every day. The only way you're going to have that kind of strength is in His Spirit. In His Spirit. And to have Him, you got to let Him get into you. You know, Jesus left us with a big old long list of expectations. And we talked about some of that a couple Sundays ago. If the Lord ever allows me, I might continue that message. You never know. But He left us with that list of expectations before He left. I challenge each and every one of you to get into that book and find out what those expectations are. Maybe you're not living up to His expectation. Could be. I find new stuff all the time. I say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. This is the way I need to be walking. Help me, Lord, to walk in that way." Can I tell you that He'll help you? He's always ready to help you. He never backs away from us. You see, back in it's probably about 94, 95 in the other century. I was in a men's meeting over in Conroe. And there was a little bitty skinny street preacher. Had a call of God on his life to go to the streets of Houston and preach the streets. And he did. And he made such a row that all the hierarchy down there, they wanted to put him in jail and, I mean, all kinds. But that didn't break him. They let him out because they had nothing to hold him on except maybe disturbing the peace. But he was only disturbing the peace of the enemy. Yeah. Are we not supposed to do that? Aren't we? It said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're supposed to be assaulting them, not them assaulting us. If I read it right, that's what it says. Anyway, this little skinny street preacher, his very last thing that he said, and this is what really got me. I loved his message. It was an awesome message. Talking about the things of God, what God expects, what he had been doing, how he had heard from God, so forth. Just awesome testimony. And the last thing he talked about, he said, now look, guys, there's a couple hundred of us in this men's meeting from Northeastern section over there. And he says, when is the last time that you went to prayer and didn't ask God for anything? When is the last time you went to prayer and you only asked God, what's on your list, Lord? You want Holy Spirit to get in your face? Try that. Sincerely from your heart, try that. I'm going to tell you what, that statement right there, early 90s, I forget, 93, 94, 95, wherever it was, changed the way that I thought about serving God. After that point, I had always been a hands-on person. I was a hands-on person before I got saved, and I was a hands-on person after I got saved. I jumped right in. Whatever needed to be done, I was there. Yes, Lily. I was there. I worked for myself in those days. I spent probably half the year working at the church and the other half the year making a living. That's when you have freedom to do. And I had that freedom. And it was a real learning curve for me. But I found out that asking Him what He wanted me to do opened up a whole new world of what I was supposed to be doing. It did. It did. Until you get over into the Spirit and start talking about those things with God, you're not going to see that. Because we don't normally ask God for what He wants us to do. We're asking Him for what we want Him to do. Come on now, be honest with me. Let's start asking Him what He wants us to do. Where should we be? Who should we be talking to? At church, at work, in the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever that you are. You see, if you're a part-time Christian, there ain't no such animal, I can tell you. You either is or you ain't, okay? Either is or you ain't. Ain't no part-time nothing that's a Christian. You're either in all the way or you're not at all. That's just like them Henry firearms, made in America or not made at all. You're either in or you're out. There's the line. You can't stand on the line. It's too thin. By His Spirit, we work for Him. By His Spirit, He speaks to us. But you got to be willing to listen. You got to be willing to wait. You got to be willing to tarry. That's what the apostles were willing to do for all those days. They spent in the upper room. They went and they waited. They prayed. They sought the Lord. He came. He didn't come like they thought, but He came. Get ready, because when you start thinking that way and you start asking God that way, what you think maybe is not of God will be Him speaking to your heart. You think about the children of Israel when old Moses was leading them around, okay? And they're standing at the foot of the mountain, and God starts to speak to Israel. Thunders and lightnings and wind and what happened? All the children of Israel, they run away from the mountain. He was speaking to them. If they would have just listened, if they would have just come down and said, okay, God, talk to me. Talk to me, Lord. they told Moses, said, no, Moses, you go up there. It's too scary. We ain't never seen this before, Moses. We're scared of that. Can I tell you, don't be scared of him. I'll tell you again, it don't matter what it looks like. You'll be working in the right direction. You'll be working for the right person. That's called Holy Spirit. You'll be listening to the right spirit, not the unholy spirit, but the Holy Spirit. People are always afraid of what something's going to look like if they go to work for God and do exactly what He asked them to do. Who cares? Listen, you're going to be misunderstood whether you do it or you don't. So you might as well be doing what He wants you to do and be misunderstood. At least you'll be headed in the right direction. When you go to prayer, ask what God wants, okay? See what's on His list, what He expects. And the Spirit of God will speak to your heart and change your life. Every time you do it, I promise you, without fail. All you got to do is do it. All you got to do is go after Him. Can I tell you that you go into it with an expectation to receive? You know, at the Gate Beautiful, that's what the beggar there, the lame guy. You read it there in Acts 3. It says, he looked up at Peter and John expecting to receive something. Do we go to prayer expecting? Do we go expecting to hear from Him by His Spirit? I'm telling you, it starts and ends with the Spirit. Starts and ends with the Spirit. All you got to do is go after Him and then get ready. Get ready. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, we'll get off into that on another message, you know. But the Spirit of God is what makes everything happen. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of His Word. That's what gives us life. That's what gives us healing in the Spirit by the stripes on Jesus' back. By the blood that was shed. Can you see salvation? Can you see a changed heart? No, I can't see that changed heart in me, but I'm going to tell you what, you see the results of it, don't you? Can I tell you that people will know that you're walking in the Spirit by the results of that Spirit in your life? They will know it. Now, they might run from it because they don't understand it. They might even speak against you because they don't understand it. But that don't make it less real. It's real. When you experience Him, you'll know it. You'll know it. Because you'll be doing what you didn't think you would ever do. You'll go places that maybe that you would have never gone. You'll say things to other people to enhance the Spirit of God in their hearts and in their lives as never before. And it's by His Spirit. Y'all understand this message today, don't you? By His Spirit. Only by His Spirit. See, I can't do it in my flesh. I can't do it with this carnal side of me. I can only do it with the Spirit of God speaking to me. And what I hide in my heart will come out of my mouth. That's the way it's supposed to work. Each and every one of us are the same. Listen, we all got our wants and disappointments and hurts and fears and all that stuff. But the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, will help you through every bit of that and bring you out on the other side with, what's that word, brother? Victorious. Victorious. Victorious only in the Spirit of God. Man. What a word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to close service. I'm going to close it with prayer, and then we're going to have special prayer for Sister Ruth. Okay? And let's just pray. I was going to go somewhere else, but I ain't going to do that. Father, first of all, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your tenderness. I thank you, Father, that we are able, Lord, to commune with you directly. We don't have to go through some man or through some ritual or through something of this life or this world, God, to get a hold of you, Lord. All we need to do, Lord, is bend a knee in prayer. Bend a knee, Lord, of our own spirit, Lord, that we confer our will, Lord, to your will. That your will, Lord, will overtake each and every one of us. And that Holy Spirit will speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. And it will change the way that we live, to change the way that we think, change the way that we do, that will be about your list, Lord, and not our list. About what you want, Lord, and not about what we want. I thank you today, Lord, for speaking to hearts. And Lord, it'll be anyone in this building today, Lord, that needs you as personal Savior, Jesus. I ask you, Father, right now that you allow Jesus just to reach in and touch their hearts. Draw them to you, Lord, in a special way, God. And any of those, Father, that maybe there's an area, Lord, that they need to get right in, God. Maybe Holy Spirit has been speaking to their hearts today and they need to get right in some area of their life, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help them right now to get rid of those things, Lord, that are not of you, and that their hearts, Lord, would become pure before you. And then, Lord, that you would set them on fire with Holy Spirit, set them on fire with your word, that they will be about your business each and every day in each and every way. And, Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.